eschatology of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I have two reasons to do this. One is to underline or emphasize the fact that prophecies of the kind that Daniel received, or the vision or revelation, the 77th prophecy, was in his day common, and that they were always continuous, hence their nature. The second reason I want to present this is I'm trying to emphasize things in this class, as I said at the beginning, which are kind of things you're going to run into, and so this is a sort of parenthetical study of eschatology that will deal with this kind of prophecy, and I hope you can use this. The Jehovah's Witnesses, of course, the key date for the Jehovah's Witnesses is the 1914, if you realize that. 1914, Jesus came in an invisible coming and set up a kingdom. Now, if you study the history of this, you see that the Jehovah's Witnesses set two or three dates, none of which the Lord honored. The last of which, last date, was 1914. And when the Lord didn't show up on that year, they in effect said, well, he did come, but it was an invisible coming. So we changed the date. And that within one generation, he would come visibly and set up the millennium. Well, and of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses are getting a long way away from 1914. Only one generation is supposed to come 75, and that's coming next pretty soon. It's interesting. Everybody's the ultimate dispensations are holding for 1981. Did you, Matt, Jim? I understand over at the Calvary Assembly that the preacher over there is hinting at that. Not teaching. I'm not sure that's true. Well, the basis of the whole of the Jehovah's Witness eschatology is 1914. Where did they get the date 1914? Well, first of all, as I put on your outline, what they did was they keep now. Well, let me put it this way: one of the real hard dates of history is the year 538.
Now, you're going to take notes on this because you got all kinds of things. You're going to have to get copies of the board.
538 BC, which was the fall of Babylon. One of the reasons it's so it's a hard date. That is, you really fix it chronologically, is it's dated not only in the Bible, but it's dated in it's recorded in Xenophon and Herodotus, the Greek historians, as well as by the Persian sources, the Persian verse account, the Cyrus Cylinder, other cuneiform sources. You got that? So really, they're anybody who deals with biblical, with history, ancient history, or biblical history, and denies this date as the as a firm date, 538, 537, that year, B.C. I mean, they don't have bulls in the water. They're just, and nobody does, that I know of. This is a firm date. Okay, now what the, and it has been for some time, it was known from the Greek historical records. By the way, it's sort of, what you do in ancient history is you, at various times you have relative chronologies, but you fix absolute dates, because there are, down through history, various firm dates which are established by cross-reference. You have that, so what you do is you hook your relative chronology on these firm dates and establish your absolute chronology. Well, it wasn't history of chronology, but... the early so-called scholars, the early so-called scholar of Jehovah's Witness was Charles Taze Russell, who was glib but ignorant, and his Bible study. By the way, Joel's Witness Scholarship of any kind has never been recognized beyond the borders of the Joel's Witnesses themselves, the Watchtower Society. That is, I did not know of any Watchtower Society scholar who was recognized as such by anybody but Watchtower adherents. They're very flaky. We'll see one of the reasons. Now, what was done by this pseudo scholarship, they read this prophecy of Jeremiah 25, 11 through 18. Now, let's go back to that again. This is the one that Daniel was praying about. Okay? That Daniel was praying about. Jeremiah 25, 11 through 18. Now, I've got this for you. See if here on this, you find it up here. First prophet, the first scripture listed on the little chart. And he says this, this whole land shall be a desolation and a horror, verse 11. These nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And when the 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation. Now, also look at Jeremiah 29:10, a restatement of this. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for or to Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. Okay? The 70 years completed for Babylon. Now, what? It's very simple. The fundamental mistake of the Russellites was this. I'm not sure exactly who did it, but check in, this makes a difference. They assumed, listen, this is very, very interesting. They assumed, on the basis of their deep reading of Scripture, that what Jeremiah said was that Jerusalem, they assumed that the prophecy of Jeremiah was that there would lapse 70 years between the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians and the fall of Babylon. Got that? They assumed the 70 years was the gap between the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon and the fall of Babylon. Okay? That's what that 70 years of Daniel meant, or Jeremiah meant. A more fundamental assumption was that it was exactly 70 years. We say that it wasn't, because after 68 years, Daniel claimed it was time. They never understood to be exact. Yes. Okay, they assumed that the 70 years was between, the 70-year gap was between the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians and the destruction of the Babylonian Empire itself. Well, they had no problem with that. Look how this works out. You had, say, 538, okay? And you add the 70 years. The date is 538, 537. They use the 7. And they got the year 607. They got, okay? This is 538, 537. That year. They used the 537. Add 70 years. That came up to 607. Then they dated the fall, the destruction of Jerusalem at 607. Destruction of Jerusalem. Okay? That's what the Bible teaches, they said. Now, the problem, the next thing they did was, are you ready for this? Where'd they get? Now, this is the basis of the year 1914. I'll show you how. Is this interesting to you? It better be, because I'm asking questions there. No. You don't want to get down to deep stuff with Job, but if somebody's really thoughtful, you can dig into this. Because if they lose that date 1914, their whole eschatology goes up. And So this is how they did it. Then, in their infinite exegetical wisdom, they got up to Daniel 4. Daniel's sort of the playground of this outfit. Daniel chapter 4. And by some strange system progression of logic, now Daniel 4 is about Nebuchadnezzar's period of madness. You used to tell you this with the prophets. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, it says this in Daniel 4:25, that you, as Nebuchadnezzar, be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of the heaven. And seven periods of time will pass over you. Do you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestow it on him whoever it wishes? Now, seven periods of time. Now, the seven periods of time which would pass over Nebuchadnezzar were allegorized. Of course, what it was, 7 years, he was learning. This seven periods of time is allegorized to mean the age of the Gentiles. And the age of the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles, as they called it, went from the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians in 607, and the age of the Gentiles was computed this way. They came up with the idea that a prophetic year is 360 days. This is scholarship now. The prophetic year is the seven periods of time, or seven prophetic years. Then they resorted to the day-year theory and computed that. So there were 306, so a prophetic day, prophetic year, prophetic day was 300, prophetic year was 360 days, then you compute that to 360 years because of the day-year theory, which we'll get into in the study of the book of Daniel, the idea that day was a year in God's prophetic talking, and that, therefore, the seven periods of time, which were going to pass over Nebuchadnezzar, allegorically meant that the age of the Gentiles would be seven prophetic years computed to, in terms of the day-year theory, to seven times 360 years. Did y'all get that? If you did, you're in trouble. Okay, they got this idea, the Adventist book like this. This is comic book eschatology. And this day-year theory, every time you find a day, it means a year, in eschatological, apocalyptic language. And another vagary of this is that a prophetic year is not 365 days, but 360 days. They say it was going to be on the lunar calendar, not the solar calendar. That's why I call it the Jewish calendar was lunar, primarily, which is about 360 days. The solar year is 365. That's why if a lunar calendar, you always have to update it every so often. You have to stick it on the lunar calendar. Anyway, so that they computed that a prophetic year was 360 days, okay? He said seven prophetic years, so they compute this to seven periods of 360 years. Without knowing, you don't have to understand all the background of it, but anyway, take my word for it, that's how they did it. Yes.
Could you say, I'm also reading about the Gentiles, and they still the Gentiles from...
Okay, let me, two basic things to understand. Let me cut through it, maybe shorten. First of all, they allegorize the seven periods of madness, the seven periods of time of Nebuchadnezzar's madness to be the age of the Gentiles, allegorical for the age of the Gentiles, which began with the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, which they did in 607 on the basis of Jeremiah's prophecy.
What's that scripture reference?
Daniel 4, 25. Next, so you have these seven periods of time, follow me, the times of the Gentiles, starting from the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, the age of the Gentiles. The second assumption was of this, that these sevens to be computed would be 300, would be 7 periods of 360 years.
So I'm just about digging into all the thinking behind that.
Very subjective. So you get that because of this. That the age of the Gentiles, therefore, would be 2,520 years. Computed from 607 B.C., the destruction of Jerusalem. So, if you take 2,520 years, and you subtract, well, let me see how this happens. You can put it two different ways. You subtract take 607, fall Jerusalem, you get 1913, but you have to add a year because there's no year zero, transition, the birth of Christ. So you have to add a year, and you get 1914. In other words, there's two basic questions. One is this issue of this computation based upon allegorical use of Daniel 4, the Nebuchadnezzar's madness, and this business. So they come at their basic number of years, which is highly subjective and speculative, the other things, for the age of the Gentiles, but then they computed it from 607 B.C. Well, they got that date by reading Jeremiah's prophecy to mean that there would be 70 years between the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians and the destruction of Babylon in 538. Are you all with me this morning?
Well,
what
did you just say?
I'm trying to show you whether the Jehovah's Witnesses get their day of 1914. Right. You ever wonder? People want to ask you that. If you explain to them, you'd blow them away.
Well, what I don't understand is where they started at the 607.
Okay. I started here at this firm date.
538.
Nobody denies that. They can't. They know this is a firm date. But they read Jeremiah, the one that Daniel was reading when he was praying and got this 70 spiritual restoration in terms of 77s when he was praying about national restoration. Jeremiah 70, your prophecy. They took that prophecy, and they read it to say, which we'll see in a minute, it doesn't say, that there would be that the 70 years that Jeremiah talked about was between the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of Babylon. Therefore, they just added 70 to 538, and got the 607 for the destruction of Jerusalem. But at that date, then they made another assumption based upon this other business, that the age of the Gentiles was 2,520 years, dating from the destruction of Jerusalem. So if you date the age of the Gentiles at 2,520 years, from the destruction of Jerusalem, 607 B.C., you come up with 1914. Yes?
What do they mean by age of the Gentiles?
The age before the kingdom, when sin runs its full course among the Gentile nations and before the Messiah comes. I don't go into that, it's not really important, yes.
How did they react to the scripture that says,
no,
they know
it's there now?
Well,
I don't know. They said it can tell the generation,
yeah.
Year, month, week, maybe.
It's not the day.
It's not the day, now.
The week, yes.
The prayer of Daniel's, he was praying that God promised that in 70 years after the exile from Jerusalem. Now, the exile from Jerusalem,
he didn't pray that. He wasn't praying. Well, let's get back to what Jeremiah, to answer your question about to date his prayer. The first mistake, now regardless, by the way, I'm not going to get into this business, the idea that the age of the Gentiles dates from the destruction of Jerusalem, and the idea that it's 2,520 years, is pure subjective speculation. It's allegorism. It is baloney, and other things. But the interesting thing is, even if you grant this, the fundamental humor in this, even if you said that this had basis, which has no basis whatever, the problem is, the interesting thing is, that they got the date for the destruction of Jerusalem wrong. That their whole computation of 1914, in other words, now the reason I'm going to emphasize this to you is, if I were talking to Joe Buzzis, trying to really bring him to the light, on this point at least, I would not get into the subjective nature of this age of the Gentiles, the day-year theory, and the allegorizing of Nebuchadnezzar's years of madness. I would simply point out that something that can be verified historically, and that is, and biblically, and that is, that the date that they counted from is wrong. Because, as you know, Jerusalem was not destroyed in 607 B.C. It was destroyed in what year? 586 B.C. Well, 587 B.C. 586, 587. We'll use the date 587 B.C. Now, interestingly enough, first of all, why did they... The first mistake in computing this date was they read Jeremiah's prophecy wrong. Now keep in mind that Jeremiah's prophecy did not say that the 70 years, or approximately 70 years, was between the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of Babylon. It says the 70 years were appointed to Babylon to have dominance over Jerusalem. And the thing for 70 years, for 70 years, Jerusalem will be under the hand of Babylon. Well, as we know from history and from the Bible, there's any question about it, that Babylon ruled Jerusalem several years before it destroyed it. For instance, Daniel was already in captivity when Jerusalem was destroyed. Daniel went to captivity. See, Daniel, for instance, went into captivity in the year 606, 605, the beginning of Babylonian rule. So did Ezekiel. What happened was that the Babylonians asserted themselves over Jerusalem, set up a client king or a puppet king arrangement, and then agreed to leave Jerusalem alone as long as Jerusalem paid his annual tribute. The destruction of Jerusalem, 586, came after a series of refusals by Jerusalem's king to keep that agreement. So Babylon, which had controlled Jerusalem, it had the rule over Jerusalem since 606, 605 B.C., finally got fed up with all this rebellion, came in and destroyed the city. So, and note this, and what Jeremiah's prophecy was, that this approximate 70-year period, was the period of Babylonian, you got this, was the period of Babylonian rule, which goes from about 605, I'll put this on your, you've got this on your chart, 605, 606, that this was the 70-year period, 605, approximate 70-year period, and that Jerusalem had been under the control of the Babylonians. The 70 years was appointed to Babylon, to lord it over Jerusalem. But the thing that the Jehovah's Witness scholars did not realize was, they read Jeremiah's prophecy wrong, they read their Bible wrong, didn't say that. Secondly, they didn't read their history at all, which indicates that Babylon ruled over Jerusalem several years before they destroyed it. Yes.
What? I'm playing most devil advocate, so in case I get asked a question like this, I can answer it. What would they say? Well, it doesn't matter, rule or destroy, you know, they still took over Jerusalem in 607 B.C., and whether or not they destroyed it in 587 wouldn't
matter. Well, the interesting thing is that in all their literature, charts, it was listed, and by divine revelation, by the way, this came out of the committee. This is divine revelation. There was the destruction of Jerusalem. And by the way, the Jehovah's Witness today still hold the destruction of Jerusalem in 607 B.C. Nobody else in the world does. But they do.
The destruction of Jerusalem in 607 B.C.
Why? Why don't they just back off and say, you know, make this compromise and acknowledge what everybody knows is true, that Jerusalem fell in 586 B.C. That's also now a firm date. Well, the reason is because they built everything upon this 1914 year. It's built upon this year as the year of the destruction of Jerusalem. And they cannot back off. If they back off, they surrender their fundamental eschatology. And they haven't backed off, and they can't. I mean, that goes, the whole thing goes. I mean, that'd be like the Roman Catholic Church denying the authority of the papacy. You can throw some things out the window, but other things you can't get rid of. The whole system falls apart. I'm just an example. Now, okay, so they're stuck with that. And you get to read their books. They 607, they say, well, it's the Bible. We don't care what the historians say. It's what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that. You all see the basic problem here? The issue? Okay, now, and I've given you this information here. First of all, what's the problem with this? Well, let's see this first series of 1, 2, 3, 4 in the middle of your page. Please follow me here. It ignores the significance of Jeremiah's 70 years to Babylon. I've already discussed that, okay? It did not say it was 70 years from the destruction of Jerusalem. Secondly, there are some others. Prophecies of this period. These are valuable to sort of compute, to deal with this view, and also to understand the nature of time prophecies. For instance, this idea of a gap in Daniel's 77th, the gap in the 69th and 70th year. Was there any gap in Jeremiah's 70-year prophecy? Strange, Daniel thought it was consecutive years, didn't he? As continuous years. Well, he did. He would have been praying. Look at 2 Chronicles. There's some other prophecies which the Jehovah's Witnesses didn't notice. 2 Chronicles 36, 20 through 23. There's some... And again, we're going to see that how... I've got all these diagrams for you here, I think. 2 Chronicles 36. Begin with verse 20. And those who had escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon. This is... And they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, which was the coming of Nebuchadnezzar, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. That's the other prophecy that we've already talked about. Until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation it kept Sabbath until 70 years were completed. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of the king of spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation to God his kingdom and also put it in the writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed to me to build a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea, therefore, whoever there is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him and let him go up. Now, in 2 Chronicles 36, 20 through 23, you have Another, it says, until the Sabbath, where the 70 day, the 70, it shall keep Sabbath. Look at the language in verse 21. The land enjoyed its Sabbaths all the days of its desolation. It kept Sabbath until 70 years were completed. Now, the significance of this prophecy was that under the law of Moses, what happened after the 70, after seven Sabbath, a Sabbath period, seven 70s, or seven sevens, I mean, every 7 years, what'd they do? That'd be 49 years. Every 50th year was what?
Jubilee
year. What happened to the Jubilee year? One of the things happened was all land returned to the original families, and the slaves were free, among other things. Now look at this, and so what he's saying is that there's going to be a Sabbath period, 70 years, and then the land would go free the 50th year, which would be the year following the 49 years. Israel would go free. That is, Cyrus would send a decree to rebuild the temple. This would be the Jubilee year. Land keeps Sabbath. It kept Sabbath until 70 years were completed. In the Jubilee year, Cyrus sends out the decree, and the people go home. Now, note this. You had 70 years again. It's 70 years from approximately 537. This was the first decree of Cyrus, 537. Add the 70 years, and you get again 607 from the time when Babylon had rule over Jerusalem. Same basic computation. Let's look now at Zechariah 1:12. Zechariah 1:12. And the plot thickens now. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou have no compassion for Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, which thou hast been indignant these 70 years? Now, Zechariah, there's no question, this is the firm date. Zechariah's vision, and we won't go into all the chronology on that, and there's no question about this, and he dates it, it was the year 520. In 520 now, Zechariah says that the Lord has been indignant to Judah for 70 years. Okay? He's been indignant to Judah for 70 years. That is, apparently, look at the language here. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou have compassion for Jerusalem? Whereas Jeremiah's prophecy was to Babylon, here the prophecy focuses not upon that, but upon the city itself. And the cities of Judah. How long is it going to be before you're going to have compassion on them again? They were destroyed. Well, look, if you compute 70 years from 520, you get 590. Of course, this is a round date, 590, which is within 2 or 3 years, again, these round numbers, of this period, indicating that in 520, so I listed here on a diagram here for you. In 520, Zechariah said, you have been indignant toward Jerusalem and the cities of Judah for these 70 years, approximately 70 years. If you compute, it comes out, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in that case. And note this, it will not stretch, even the 70 years, at the most is 590, but again, keep in mind that Daniel prayed after 68 years.
So if you give it 2 or 3 years, as Daniel did, you come right to the date of the fall of Jerusalem, but you cannot stretch it to 607. So even Zechariah's prophecy is very interesting. Because if you date the indignity to Jerusalem from 607, based on Zechariah's prophecy, you go, it's too long. It was way beyond 70 years. 17 years, at the least. As it missed it about 20 years. If 607 was the date that Jerusalem fell. So, what I'm saying is that the Jehovah's Witnesses, the college, will not compute even in terms of what the Bible says, these other prophecies. Well, that may be, I'm not going to give you a test on this. It's very complicated. I thought you might have this for future study. It's very interesting because it shows that there was more than one 70-year prophecy. Zechariah, there was the prophecy in 2 Chronicles, which was roughly comparable, parallel to Jeremiah's 70-year prophecy. And there was another in Zechariah, which really demonstrates the fact that the Jehovah's Witness got the wrong date. Because it wasn't the 70 years goes back to the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, you can have that. This might be valuable to you sometime if you're ever going to get into it. But the main point is that in each of these cases, you have time prophecies, do you not? And their essential value consists among their essential value as time prophecy consists in the fact that these were approximately 70 years. No one expected, they never compute to exactly 70 years, very close to 70 years, always use round numbers, but they were 70 continuous years. Always. Now, on what grounds would we say, well now, the 70-year prophecy in Chronicles, and Jeremiah's 70-year prophecy, and the 70-year prophecy in Zechariah, these are all continuous years, but based upon Jeremiah's prophecy, we have a 77th prophecy, an extended time prophecy, but they're not continuous years. Well, you can see, can't you, that the whole thing becomes, the whole thing becomes absurd, becomes useless, destroys the very purpose and content of it. So we have, when you say, well, these are 70, this 490-year period, approximately this 500-year period, Daniel's 77s are continuous years. That is, no gap. You certainly have scriptural grounds for it. This was the kind of prophecies they used, wasn't it? It was not uncommon. And they were always continuous years. Useless if they were not. Okay, that's all I have to say on that. Any questions?
Yes. It's going to be too much answer, but how do they come about the... day, year theory, and how does it come out the year, week?
Well, there's no, the day, year theory doesn't say, for instance, in Daniel 4, it doesn't say years, it's a period of time. Like the 2300 evenings and mornings of Daniel 9. Not Daniel 9, of Daniel, anyway, the prophecy, 2300 evenings and mornings, or 2300 days. They just automatically about me 2,300 years, but there's no basis. You cannot find a day, year, or computation of the scriptures. You have to go by each individual text and see what it says. That, but that equivalency does not appear in scripture.
What about the, more about the week?
Well, it doesn't say weeks. It says seven periods of seven. And it's assumed to be years, but it works out that way.
It doesn't say weeks?
No, it says 70. Well, some translations say 70 weeks, but it really says 77s. 70 units of 7. And it was the word for week, but there's other things as well. But every time you find so many days, this is so many years, that's how they compute it, simply not so. In any case, your days means days. Go to the text itself and see what you cannot bring to it some arbitrary rule that every time you see days, that means so many years. And of course, in Nebuchadnezzar said seven periods of time. Usually call it the day 7 years, I'm going to be sure. Okay, well, that's interesting to you or not, but at least we emphasize the fact that
that when we go, the last thing I would say about Daniel's 70 weeks is, if the church is the kingdom, we have no problem whatever. The numbers don't compute exactly, they were never intended to. But if the church is the kingdom, then we have a Messiah doing his work of filling up, of fulfilling prophecy, of making the perfect sacrifice, of establishing absolute righteousness in his death, in his blood, in his intermediation. And we do not need to import a gap, revive the Roman Empire, rebuild the temple, and give God another shot at it. Simply by allowing the 70 years to be 70 years. And then do some careful work in the text. I'll talk about the parentheses, that idea that the prince, do not separate the prince and his people, do not put the church between people and of. You know, you allow the text to flow right straight through, as it obviously was intended to do. That's the nature of these time prophecies. And you get away. And by the way, you realize that 99% of all this talk about this Antichrist or this figure arising in the Middle East is going to make an agreement with the Jews and then break it. Who's that going to be? And all that is based upon that particular view of Daniel 9. That is, that he, the prince, shall make a covenant with me for 1 week and destroy the tabernacle. And so they're going to find somebody to make a deal with the Jews, try to get the Jews to rebuild the temple. And all that is based upon that, which is nice. So I say it's very false. Way of looking at it. You have to really do violence to the scriptures to come up with that. Well, but all that speculation is based upon that. So it's very important. It all ties together. This idea of Israel and the church, the Jews are still the people of God. All fits together. But you can see that it has to be very much a scissors and paste approach to scripture. To cut, separate the gaps, put them in parentheses. Everything. Well, the church. Well, that's all I have to say on that. I just, if you understand nothing else, you understand it. It's very unnatural for Scripture to introduce a gap. Especially, by the way, one more point. Especially, remember, I was going to get into, we're going to Revelation 20 next. So I'm going to say Revelation 20. But, remember, I drew my little figure of the man, the image, and you cut him off at the knees and have his feet way down here, and the gap is bigger than the image. You really do it. The scale. Remember I did this? To show you put a sort of diagram there, to show you, it's like what you really have, wasn't it? Here is the fella, and here's the gap. You've got more gap than you have image. You understand that? And is this ends in, this is the historic Roman Empire, and this is the revival. This is 2,000 years so far. Well, you do the same thing, by the way, with Jeremiah's prophecy. You want to document, you have look, as you go from from the decree 530, or whichever one you use, say, you use the one in, which one did I use? The first decree of our 438 BC, 43 BC. You go down to the crucifixion, you get approximately 500 years, and it's 500 years, or less, minus 500 years, that's the 69 weeks. Okay? Then the 70th week is after 2,000 years, three times as long as this period, then you get the 70th week. That's a great time prophecy, isn't it? You have more left out than you have put in. So it's not simply, you get on my point, it's not simply interrupting it. You're putting more in than, you're making that which is the mystery, which you have to know ahead of time, is there. Time left out is longer than the time put in. You get my point? That's like saying, well, what you've got is a watch. It's kind of like having a fella whose watch doesn't run, but it still rides twice a day.
Yeah.
Well, you can see if the time left out is longer than the time put in, that's time prophecy. Your time prophecy is pretty much destroyed. So you see, am I talking about, I didn't let it get on top of myself tonight. You all with me?
Good.
I think you have shown so little regard that
you didn't have any enthusiasm over this, other growing songs about it, anything we're going to leave it, I'm going to say no more about it.
Aww.
Promise?